Welcome, friends, to episode 40 of the Fast and Fabulous podcast. I am your host, Michelle Montone. I'm a full-time mom, fasting coach, and podcaster. My entire adult life was always centered around losing weight and got exceptionally difficult after having children. I had tried everything. Pills, shakes, counting calories, over-exercising. I was the ultimate yo-yo dieter. Until January 2020, when I discovered clean intermittent fasting. 4 years later, not only have I maintained a 50-pound weight loss, but more importantly, I've ditched diet brain for the first time in my adult life. So please stop counting calories and stick with me, because we all have the power to lose weight and keep it off naturally. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Please remember to consult your physician before embarking on an intermittent fasting lifestyle. Also, please do not use any of the following information in place of medical advice. This episode is brought to you by the Fast and Fabulous Patreon community. I am always receiving messages asking how you can support the show and help us get the word of intermittent fasting out. And now you can do just that. There's only one level of membership to keep it as simple as possible. For only $6.99 a month, you can not only support the show, but you will also get something in return. When you join, you will enjoy early access to every episode, connect with other intermittent fasters from around the world, access to our monthly Zoom meetups where we can connect privately on a variety of topics, and much more. To join, please visit the link in the show notes. And for those interested in connecting with me to book a consultation, or to learn more about my personal one-on-one coaching, please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com. Okay, everyone, to say I'm excited for today's episode would be an absolute understatement, because I am absolutely freaking thrilled to have you guys hear this episode. I am joined today by the expert on clean intermittent fasting herself, Jen Stevens. Jen is the New York Times best-selling author of Fast, Feast, Repeat, Cleanish, and Delay, Don't Deny. Let us not forget my personal favorite as well of Jen's, and often overlooked, Feast Without Fear. Jen has been living an intermittent fasting lifestyle since 2014. Since then, she's maintained a weight loss of more than 80 pounds, hosts two top-ranked podcasts, Intermittent Fasting Stories, and Fast, Feast, Repeat, Intermittent Fasting Stories for Life. Links to Jen's podcast and websites will be linked in the show notes. Enjoy this episode. Welcome everyone to episode 40. And I am so thrilled to have with us who we like to refer to the mother of intermittent fasting, Jen Stevens. Jen, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, good to see you this morning and I'm glad to be here.
Good to see you as well. Always great to see you, Jen. To be honest, this interview is very special for me because your first book, Delay, Don't Deny, was the inspiration for me and how I shed over 50 pounds 4 years ago, and how really I'm sitting here right now talking to you and I have this podcast and this has become my life. Your latest and greatest book, The 28-Day Fast Start Day by Day, which is essentially... Mine's back there. It's back there.
Awesome.
it's like the companion book to Fast, Feast, Repeat. Am I correct in saying that?
It is. It is totally a companion book to Fast, Feast, Repeat. And it came about because I realized some people needed just a little more support when they were starting, because Fast, Feast, Repeat is super comprehensive.
Absolutely.
Its greatest strength and its greatest weakness.
100%. I mean, I call it my Bible. And so I always refer to it, but it is very comprehensive. If you've never read it, please read it. But the Jen's new book, The Companion Guide, The 28-Day Fast Start Day by Day, is absolutely wonderful. And it is more of a hand-holding guide to starting this lifestyle, or maybe you're jumping back into this lifestyle. So pick it up, whether it's audio, it's on Amazon, pick up a copy. Jen, you may or may not remember that I had started a Facebook group shortly after you left the social media world. And to that, I have some questions that I have compiled from a few people, moderators, okay, and members alike, but I want to talk a little bit, I want to dive into your new book, okay, because that's at the forefront of my mind, and I know it's at the forefront of your mind and so many other people's mind right now. It is like the top fasting book out there right now. So let's go a little bit into it. Each chapter has an inspirational story by somebody that has followed in your footsteps pretty much with Delay, Don't Deny. So can you expand on how this book is going to change the landscape of intermittent fasting?
Yep. And I think, you know, like there's a clue in the subtitle there. It's the ultimate guide to starting or restarting your intermittent fasting lifestyle so it sticks. And I didn't realize how much we needed this book for the people that are having trouble making it stick as well. You know, I've been running intermittent fasting support groups since my very first one that I started in 2015, when it was just a way to support me and my friends who were doing this crazy thing in 2015 called intermittent fasting. And, you know, they grew and grew and grew. And there are people who start intermittent fasting and they never look back, and then they just keep doing it forever, and that's just how they live. Right. But there are people who tend to cycle back in and out. And so, you know, we'll see, they'll be there, they'll be in the community, they'll be excited, then they disappear.
Right.
For like 5 months. And then they show back up and they're like, well, I quit. I don't know why. I'm back. I'm starting again. And so I realized, you know, there's really got to be a way to help people who know, they know intermittent fasting is what is their answer. They know it. It's just instinctually, you hear about it, you're like, this is going to be my answer. Like me, when I started in 2019. Yeah. And then started and stopped all through those years, 2019 to 2014. If I had had this book right here, I would not have quit. I would have started in 2019 or 2009 and never quit. But,
right,
you know, the lessons that you learn along the way, or all my lessons are in here, and plus learning from people who have struggled to make it a lifestyle. And, you know, it's all about mindset, expectations, habits, the practices of intermittent fasting, understanding how it's different than what you've done before, you know, why it's so good for you. Because when you fully understand the health benefits, when you have a really powerful why, which is one of the first things I have people do when they, before they even start day one, they craft their why. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really understand that this is a lifestyle and it will change everything for you, you're less likely to quit.
Yeah.
So I put all that together, put on my teacher hat, because, you know, I was a school teacher for 28 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, I know how to motivate a classroom full of kids. I know how to make kids who hate math learn to love math. And so, you know, you can get excited about anything. And when people get excited about an intermittent fasting lifestyle and they really understand how it's going to change your life, then you don't want to quit. And having those little stories in there from successful long-term intermittent fasters, you know, I'm really glad I thought to put them in. They are all past intermittent fasting stories guests. I just sent out an email to everybody who'd ever been on the show from the beginning and said, hey, I'm writing a new book. Would you give people a, you know, let them know how you've been doing, you know, a few paragraphs, and also give them their advice if they're starting or starting over. And people just filled out a Google form. And so it was so much fun to look at who replied and what they said. And I wish I could have chosen all of them.
Of course, yeah.
But I tried to match them up with the daily lessons as well. You know, like every day of the 28 days, you get a lesson for the day. Like maybe it's a mindset lesson, or maybe it's about the clean fast, or maybe it's about having realistic expectations. And then you have your daily check-in. You read my daily lesson. You read the inspiration story. It even tells you what podcast episode they were on. You get their, you know, advice. And so it's been a really powerful tool for people who are starting or restarting. But you know what surprised me the most?
What?
Is the people in the community who never had quit. They considered themselves to be, you know, intermittent fasters, and they decided just to go through it in the spirit of FOMO. They decided to go through it with us, like when it first came out, like,
oh my,
or just excitement that we were having the new book.
Okay.
But they realized that it helped them as well. So it turns out it's a great tool for experienced intermittent fasters who may have forgotten their why, or just had gotten a little complacent, or maybe a little sloppy with their little window creep here and there. Mm-hmm. So it is not just for new or restarting intermittent fasters. I can't change the subtitle now, but It's also for people who just need a refresh, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've read it and I really can say it was a wonderful refresher, even though I talk mm-hmm. about fasting all the time, like you, and it's just in our system. But reading this book and reading everybody's success stories does something for your mindset. And really, like, this is what it really being successful in this lifestyle is, I feel, really about mindset. And so when you read continuously about people's success and their and it's very motivating, it's very inspiring. So thank you for putting that book together. I've had so much good feedback in the group about it. So I just want to extend their thank you as well.
Well, thank you for letting me know. I'm real proud of it. I could not have written this book, you know, 5 years ago, but yeah, it's because I left Facebook that I've really been able to get up close and personal with my community. Like I couldn't do that in Facebook. I could at the beginning when there were 32 of us in the group, but then, you know, as it got bigger and bigger and people came in and then we had 500,000 combined members, all I was doing, you know, I like equate it to like, you know, school teacher, when you're in the classroom with those children, you really get to know those children. And then if you're good at your job, they make you be the principal, right?
Right, right.
So now you're the principal and you're like dealing with mad parents and the school board and problems. And that's how Facebook got for me, because I was like overall, I was the principal of the Facebook group and I lost touch with the people. So now I'm getting to do what I love to do. I'm back in the classroom with my community, and I'm realizing what struggles, you know, people are having. Just like a good teacher can make a plan for how to help that kid struggling in math. You know, this book was the answer to how to help that intermittent faster that knows they want to do it. But, you know, for whatever reason, they can't get out of their own way. Maybe they keep falling back to the lure of cream in my coffee just makes me have joy. You know,
right. Yeah, sure.
Or, well, I was on a vacation and then I just never started back.
Right.
And just understanding those struggles, right?
Yeah. No, it definitely, for people who are not just starting back in this lifestyle, but there are a lot of people that's like, off the wagon, or I don't like to call it the wagon. I hate the wagon, but for lack of better terms, falling off the wagon and then hopping back on, falling off, get this book. It'll help you stay on that damn wagon. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, get the book. Don't hesitate. All right.
Right.
So I'm going to go now, Jen, with these questions that we've compiled and awesome. I'm going to do my best to stumble through them. So I have a moderator and his name's David, and David wants to know, and it's not just David, it's there's a lot of people, including myself, would like to know how you feel and what your thoughts are on the newest weight loss drug craze that is sweeping the nation, Ozempics, all the semiglutides out there, and you know, specifically, the latest thing I saw was Kelly Clarkson, not to call out a celebrity, but to call out a celebrity. Sorry, Kelly. I love her. But she was joking about it on one of her concerts. And I don't know. Like, so how do you feel about it, Jen? What are your thoughts and feelings on it?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Old Jen, prior to intermittent fasting, the one that was 210 pounds, had tried everything and was desperate to lose weight and nothing ever stuck. Mm-hmm. I would have been all over that. Okay.
Absolutely.
I would have gotten the prescription, stomach paralysis, whatever. I would have literally done anything.
Of course.
To find success. And I felt so hopeless that I would ever find anything as I was yo-yoing up and down and, you know, became obese. So I totally understand why people who have struggled so long and not found success would be very attracted to this, because I would be one of those people. So I thank the Lord that I solved my problem prior to this being available. You know, I dabbled in the drugs that we had back then. Phentermine was the one that I used to make me feel terrible.
Yeah.
I lost the weight. Here's the thing, though. I felt crazy and terrible while I was taking those diet pills, but they made me thinner because it took away my appetite. It was an appetite suppressant. And so I was able to eat less without effort because of the diet pills, and I lost a lot of weight. Soon as I stopped taking them, I gained 50 pounds in 18 months, and that was when my struggle really began, and I got heavier and heavier and heavier until I got to 210. But my point is, these new weight loss injections are doing the same thing, different mechanism for appetite suppression, but they're just making you do a really low calorie diet all the time. You're just doing a very, very low calorie diet.
Right.
With the same consequences, it does not take away the consequences of a very, very low calorie diet. So we think back to what we know about the Biggest Loser study. Mm-hmm. Those people had successfully lost a lot of weight. The ones who were able to maintain had to continue to eat way less food than they would have, you know, mm-hmm. because their metabolisms mm-hmm. had slowed down.
Right.
Also, we know these new weight loss injections tend to lead to a lot of muscle loss because just like with a traditional low-calorie diet, you know, you're burning a lot of muscle with that. So not even to mention the side effects. You know, what if you're one of those people who ends up with permanent stomach paralysis? That is a thing. Ugh. People have permanent stomach paralysis for the rest of their lives. I mean, that is a very scary side effect. A lot of the side effects are scary. So I understand both sides of it. I understand being desperate for an answer that just your friend's making it look so easy. Well, how do you don't know how nauseous your friend might feel. She's not telling you that part of it.
Yeah.
And even the studies that the companies have done, their own studies show that when people stop taking them, the weight comes back. So it's not I'm just going to take it till I get to my goal weight and then I'll just be able to maintain. No, this is a yo-yo drug. They want you to take it forever.
Of course.
So
they want you on it.
Is free. I've never known anyone to have stomach paralysis from intermittent fasting. And the side effects are things like no more skin tags and your A1C is normal. And
it's all these beautiful side effects, not horrid ones like forever poopies, you know, like that's just not. So thank you for that. I appreciate your view on both sides, because like you, I was on the diet roller coaster too. And I didn't go as far as trying prescriptions, but because I was a little younger. I've taken every diet pill that was over the counter.
Yeah.
It made me feel crazy. It did crazy things to my stomach. And you're right. All it did was restrict my calorie intake and make me feel deprived and screw up my metabolism. So thank you for that. And it's just such an important topic right now. So from my Comit admin, Lisa, you may know Lisa Jasunis. I always say her last name wrong. Lisa wants to know what your insight on women over 40 fasting as we age and all of the hormonal changes that come with that. Is there anything you wish you knew sooner?
No. Well, I guess I wish I knew that we don't have to worry about it. I mean, I never did worry about it because it just felt so right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you listen to the Fast, Feast, Repeat podcast that I do with Sherry Bullock. Yeah. Let me see if I can remember what episode it was. I'm going back. The one where we had Tabitha Barber on there. And I'm looking, I don't remember. Anyway, there was one episode. I'm flipping back through my notes here. I can't. Oh, here it is. It was episode 28 of the Fast, Feast, Repeat podcast. We had Dr. Tabitha Barber. She's an OBGYN, and she's a functional medicine doctor, and she's a hormone expert. So, you know, I can tell you all day long, intermittent fasting is not going to mess up your hormones, but it means a lot more when it comes from an OBGYN. You know, the Fasting Method podcast, which is Megan Ramos, Jason Fung's group, they also had a different OBGYN on who said the same thing. Fasting is not going to hurt your hormone. The act of fasting will not. Now, here's what is bad for women's hormones. Over-restriction in general, over-dieting, and extreme exercise. Tabitha talked about the example of Olympic athletes. Women who are Olympic athletes who are training so hard often lose their periods.
Right.
That is not good for you.
No.
You know, she called your period your fourth vital sign, I think. And so if you are still in your reproductive years, you need to have a regular period. Mm-hmm. And that's the sign that your hormones are cycling properly. And so if you're in your reproductive years and you're continuing to cycle properly, you can be assured that your hormones are working just like they're supposed to. Now, there's a very normal part of the aging process, perimenopause, menopause. This happens to you whether you are fasting or not. In your 40s, your ovaries are doing something different. They're not putting out as many hormones as they did before. So we have, you know, the cycles of perimenopause. That is completely normal for all women, whether you are doing intermittent fasting or not. And, you know, as you continue to age like me, if you're past the age of menopause, there are zero hormonal concerns you should have when it comes to intermittent fasting, because we're not trying to reproduce. You know, that's when bioidentical hormone replacement therapy becomes so important. And that'll keep your body youthful as you continue to have those hormones. So,
okay. So the old theory or thought that's been circulating that, you know, if you are a woman over 40, you should stop fasting your period, or stop fasting when you're ovulating. I mean, listen, I've been fasting over 4 years and I had a period that entire time. I never stopped, because if I stopped, I'd get on this stopping and starting train.
I just don't understand the rationale. Okay, you're over 40. What is the reason why? I just don't even get it. It makes no sense at all. Because I can totally understand if you are trying to get pregnant, being a little more mindful, but you're probably not over 40 trying to get pregnant. Fertility is the thing that we want to preserve. And I guarantee those Olympic athletes who are overtraining and have lost their period, they're not fertile because their body's in panic mode.
Right.
So fertility is the hormonal issue we need to worry about when you are, but even so, you know, I had Dr. Cecily Ganhart on my podcast years ago, Intermittent Fasting Stories. It was, you know, back when I like 2018 when it was brand new, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's an OBGYN who works with a lot of women in fertility issues. She found that intermittent fasting improved their fertility. She used intermittent fasting to improve their fertility. So I just want to make that point. You know, there's one book in particular that came out last year in 2023 that had women in the title of it. And, you know, it's like we have to reinvent the wheel. It's like, I'm going to write a book that no one's written before. What would be different that isn't out there? I know I'm going to make a really complicated fasting schedule for women that it's different.
Right. I feel like it just confused a lot of women.
Oh, it confused so many women. I was even interviewing somebody for Intermittent Fasting Stories, and I think she was postmenopausal. And she was like, well, I've stopped fasting during those weeks because the book said to. I'm like, why?
Oh my gosh.
What are you trying to? I mean, look, intermittent fasting is not going to prevent the change in our hormones that happens with perimenopause and menopause. That is a natural part of life. It happens to every single woman. If we live long enough, we go through the menopausal transition. Intermittent fasting won't prevent it. It also does not hasten it. It just, our bodies do it at the pace that they're going to do it. So if you're on the other side of that menopausal transition, you're not going to suddenly have ovaries that start back up like they were youthful ovaries. That doesn't happen. Anyway, it's just,
that'd be real weird if it did.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense when you really dig in.
Yeah.
But we know that over restriction, like over dieting, is really bad for women's hormones. Why is no one saying these new weight loss drugs are really bad for women's hormones because you're doing a starvation diet? You ever heard anybody suggest that? No.
Nope.
No one is saying, you know, these new weight loss injections are going to be really bad for your hormones because you're eating starvation level calories and you're going to lose your period. And
it that's
just shows a complete lack of understanding. Like, people think fasting equals over restriction. People could combine fasting with an overly restrictive diet. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah. No, please don't do that. Satiate yourself, please.
Exactly.
Gosh, that's what we're here for. Fasting and satiating. So, the next question that I have for you is from one of our lovely, wonderful moderators, Joyce. She asks, what your opinion on all the new products that are being promoted that claim they won't break your fast, like foods and drinks with flavor, specifically being endorsed by some doctors out there? I mean, we know food breaks your fast.
Let me tell you something. I am in part of a health and wellness community, lovely people. I love them so very much. They're kind. They want to help people. But do you know where the money is? It's in selling you crap.
Products.
Okay.
Yes.
That's where the true money is.
Mm.
When I first joined this community, they're like, you need to make a fasting this, a fasting that, a fasting the other. You're going to make so much money. I'm like, I'm not doing any of that.
I could make
millions of dollars. I'm just going to say it.
Good.
I could make millions of dollars selling you fasting supplements and aids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not doing that? not because I'm lazy. You know, I would love to make millions of dollars selling you things. I don't need to sell you those things, though, because you do not need them.
Right.
So when they tell you, oh my gosh, you need this, it doesn't break the fast. It probably does break the fast and you don't need it, but it's going to make them really, really rich. Right. And here's why. We think we have to buy something to be successful. And that's like how we've been trained. You know, you start a diet like we've done in the past and you got to go get a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Fasting is the only thing you're going to do where you need less stuff than you had before.
You
don't need all that. And like everybody doesn't need electrolytes. I hadn't taken electrolytes a single time because I needed electrolytes, not one single time. Now, are there people who do need electrolyte supplementation? Sure.
Hmm.
They might be someone who's sweating a lot or they exercise a lot or whatever. Maybe they're on a keto diet because keto tends to deplete your electrolytes more than if you're eating, you know, more of an omnivore approach with all the foods. But there's not one single thing that every single person requires when you start an intermittent fasting lifestyle.
That is so true. I mean, when I started, I can't remember one thing I changed other than the time I was eating. That was it. So simple. And it's totally free. And you can just start whenever you want. And, you know, you don't need all this crap that they're selling.
If you want to buy something, invest in better quality food.
Absolutely.
Just buy food. Oh my. Buy delicious food. Spend your money on great cuts of meat and high quality cheese and whatever that you love. Don't buy the crap.
150%. Yeah. I cannot agree with that more. It's all about the quality. You learn that in your journey. Yeah, I didn't think I changed one thing about what I ate at first, but over time, what I wanted to eat, which you go into in your book, it has completely changed.
It's
totally changed. And the quality is so important. So go spend your money on quality cuts of meat, like Jen said, quality cuts of fish, whatever.
Organic foods.
Spend your money there instead of all these stupid supplements and crap that you actually really probably don't even need.
And I also want to tell you, y'all, people may not realize this. The business model of books now, but this has all just surprised me when I got to know the inner workings behind the scenes. The business model is, what do you want to sell people into or get them to buy? Write a book that makes them do that.
Right.
That's the business model. So if you've read a book, like I think of one off the top of my head that's very, very successful. It came out years ago, but it's about plants being so bad for you in a paradoxical kind of way. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm.
The author of this book makes a lot of outrageous claims about plants and also has the cure for that problem that he will sell you.
Oh, how lovely.
So you just have to, when you read a book, you have to like kind of see between the lines.
Yeah.
What are they trying to sell me?
Mm. Yep.
And anyway, it's been really eye-opening for me because I used to be that person who was like reading the book and buying the shakes that went with it or buying their supplements or woo, you know.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize that was like a business model, right?
A business model.
Sell a product. But I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, that fasting book that I hinted at about women.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of products she's going to sell you.
Yes, I've seen.
Well, and I'm not criticizing anyone making a living selling things, honestly.
Of course not.
But if you create this need for something and then sell the solution, I'm just very skeptical. You know, you've heard in my story, I talked about how Dr. Oz always had those miracle things on and then I would buy all of them. Did any of those things ever give me lasting success? No, they did not.
No,
I was buying them every day, though. So,
of course, it's big money. It's big money for them.
It really, really is big money. And I just really want people to always think about that. If they're trying to convince you that you really, really need something, are they also selling it to you? If the person telling you something is really good for you is also not selling it, then I would listen to them. But if the person telling you you need it is also selling it,
then you want to think about it. Think
about it. That
take a deep dive.
You might not need it. Like, I take magnesium for real. I really do take it. I buy optimizers. I like their magnesium. I don't mind endorsing their product, but I'm not going to create my own, right? They make a good one.
Right. You're like, they already do it good. Why would I make my own? Like, this is great.
Exactly.
But I mean, I take certain supplements because I finally went to a functional medicine doctor after 4 years, and I was told exactly which supplements that my body, my unique body, needs, what I'm in need of, what I have too much of, this and that. And I think that a lot of people, including myself for a while, were taking supplements blindly. Just
it's true.
Not knowing. Just like, oh, I need, oh, somebody on Instagram says I need this. So click, I'm going to buy it, you know, and it was a lot of that. So supplements, just, you know, tread lightly. And if it claims to not break your fast, it's probably going to break your fast. So last but not least, a wonderful member, Kate, out of our group wants to know, is there anything that you would recommend differently now that you would, like, before you wouldn't recommend, like anything specifically, like now knowing what you know now, reverse back to like 2018 that you were maybe.
I would maybe not use the wording one meal a day, because people are so caught up in that word, one meal a day.
Yeah.
Like it's interesting to me because I mean, people like to make rules about things.
They do.
And they want to have it black and white and rules and strictness and all of that. And so the whole idea of having a loose one meal a day lifestyle doesn't mean you're doing 23-1 or one plate a day, or you're, you know, trying to have a really, the shorter your window, the better, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, defining things as a snack or a meal, and it doesn't even matter. You know, your job is to open your window, eat until you're satisfied over the length of time that works without being over restrictive or overeating. And that's where the balance comes in. You have to figure out what is the eating window that allows you to eat enough food for your body so you're not over restricting, but not too much food so that you're overeating.
Right.
And that's where you have to play around with it. And it's not going to be the same day to day. So the terminology one meal a day has just really made a lot of people confused. And honestly, the only reason that I used that terminology in 2015 when I started my first Facebook group is because I had been in Dr. Bert Hearing's Facebook group for Fast Five, and people were you're trying to fit two full meals in their 5-hour window. And then I realized Dr. Hearing in his book said you're only eating one meal within your 5 hours. So I'm like, oh, he didn't intend you're trying to eat as much as you can in 5 hours.
Right.
So I was like, so we're going to fit it in like a multi-course meal. We're going to have one meal, but we're going to spread it out like we're at a fine dining restaurant or a wedding reception. You know, if you go to a wedding reception, you eat a lot of food over a lot of hours, but they're not feeding you two full meals, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's why I started that Facebook group with that name. And then the name kind of stuck. And I do still consider myself to be one meal a day-ish, because I don't usually open my window until around two, something like that, or a little later, depending on what I'm doing. And I have, you know, maybe you could call it my soup course with some bread.
Yeah.
Someone else might call that lunch. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's your opener.
And then later, I have, you know, dinner. I might have a little something sweet to close my window. And when I'm done, it's been about 5 hours. So
there you go. There you have it. There you go. One meal a day. I mean, to be honest, I think it does confuse a lot of people, or it has in some way, for people who really want to be told exactly what to do. Like you said, we want a plan. Most people want it written down what to do. What is your fasting protocol? What worked for you? Well, what works for me is not going to work for you. And so, yeah, so it's just, I can't even agree with that more. It's absolutely, you have to do your own thing and do your own version of one meal a day, what that means for you. And it doesn't mean two full meals. It means spreading out one meal in the course of your eating window.
And it might even include two full meals depending on how you are eating. See, I'm a volume eater. Mm-hmm. So what I consider to be a full meal is like what, you know, a grown man would consider to be a full meal. I like to eat. I'm not a restraint. I don't like to eat a little tiny bit of bird food, right?
Right. You know, you go for it.
Meal. Yeah. But if you're somebody who's more of a light eater than whatever you consider to be a meal, maybe you do need two of your meals in an eating window. And so that's the thing. It's just wording. And that trips a lot of people up.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that for sure. Okay. Well, I don't have any more questions per se, but I do have a sort of congratulations from somebody in my group. She wants to congratulate you for going alcohol free.
Oh, well, thank you. I've never felt better. And it was quite a process, which everyone who's listened knows. And you know, reading This Naked Mind really helped me. And I read it multiple times. Have you read that?
I love
it. It's such a good book. And once it's mindset again, like we talked about with fasting, it's all mindset when it comes to alcohol as well. Because I just think back to my childhood. You know, my mother was a hippie and she liked to party. And I can remember being a tiny little girl. She would take me with her where she went. Very inappropriate. Don't do that. But I can remember being like at a party and everybody had daiquiris. And this was like the old 70s style daiquiri. Mm-hmm. And they were like not frozen. They're mm-hmm. like lime daiquiris and the little old fashioned kind of daiquiri glasses. And I'm like, when I grow up, I'm going to go to parties too. And sure. You know, you see it. And so it's like This Naked Mind helped me realize that I had this idea in my head that fun times and being a grown up equal drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, my first stepfather made his own wine. He brewed his own beer. I remember being around the wine store with mm-hmm. them, and just it just was a given. You drink the wine. I love the glassware. I love glassware. Fun glasses. So trying to realize I can have fun without drinking because I feel so much better when I don't drink.
Right.
And I can drink kombucha out of a fun glass. I can drink it out of a martini glass if I want to.
Exactly.
100%.
So what have you experienced health-wise since ditching alcohol?
Well, I sleep through the night every night. Unless someone's making a lot of noise or something.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I just sleep. I sleep so well. Also, the hormone replacement therapy helped with that so much.
Yeah.
You know, getting my progesterone back. If you can't sleep and you're after menopause, it's the progesterone, I'm telling you. But after menopause, I really didn't handle the alcohol as well. And it was just being honest with myself about it, you know. Yeah. It felt like I was poisoning my body, even if I just had a couple glasses of wine, even if they were dry farm wine, even if, you know, what worked for me in 2018 did not work for me after I went through menopause. And just, you know, the last time I had a few glasses of wine, we were having it was a June day. We had been to we'd been walking in the marshes. We'd been to a nice dinner. We went and listened to a band. Mm-hmm. I did not overdrink. Mm-hmm. I didn't drink a ton, but I hadn't been drinking for a few weeks before that. And then I woke up in the middle of the night with my heart pounding, feeling like my body was poisoned because that's how I feel when I drink. Mm. And I'm like, why am I doing this? This is so dumb.
Yeah.
And that I haven't had any since then, even though I went to a big fancy party a couple of weeks ago and it was free, you know, wine, all the wine and champagne you wanted. And I'm like, I would just like club soda. They're like, that's $7. I'm like, so I can have free wine, but the club soda is $7.
What?
Old me would have said, well, I'll drink the free champagne.
Sure, yeah.
New me said, I'll just have plain water.
Sure, yeah. I'll take the free water.
I'm not paying $7 for club soda. No.
No, ma'am.
No, but that's when I was like, hey, this really has stuck. Because it never crossed my mind, well, I could just get a glass of champagne. Yeah. I didn't even want it. So it's like that switch finally flipped.
I love that. So. I mean, it's a personal goal of mine to go completely alcohol free. I've reduced over the 4 years, but not completely rid myself of it for good. So such a huge inspiration because now I am very inspired to stop it for good.
I just feel so much better and I can be the designated driver. Yeah. I never have to think about how am I going to get home.
Yeah.
It's just so easy.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, sleep is so important because I'm in the dreaded perimenopause stages. Yeah. And so for anybody out there listening who might be in perimenopause or in, you know, postmenopause, listen, reducing or taking alcohol out of the equation can help you sleep at night. I know because when I drink, I do not sleep well. Mm-hmm. It's just a given.
Well, I noticed I have a sleep number bed that can measure your heart rate. You know, people who have Oura rings and all those things as well. Mm-hmm. When I would drink, my heart rate would be elevated all throughout the night.
Oh yeah,
like raises a racing
your blood pressure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just not good. It was like it was poisoning my body. It's how it really felt. And so I don't clear alcohol well genetically, and so it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And I don't even feel the least bit like. I mean, I do wish there was a nice non-alcoholic champagne that actually tasted good.
Yeah,
there isn't. But anyway,
hey, maybe that's something
club soda is just fine unless it's $7.
Gin's a clean champagne, non-alcoholic champagne.
That'd be nice. I would sell that. But
yeah, see, there you go. So we kind of went on this, but you have like. Oh, well over a decade of fasting experience now and have the ultimate expertise. So like, explain how your what you're eating in your window has changed and evolved over those 10 years in a nutshell.
So much. It's, you know, I used to eat the standard American diet, and now I have no desire to eat that way all the time. You know, I'm clean-ish, as you know, from my book, Clean-ish, and that really is how I saw it back there, that nice blue color. It really is how I live my life. You know, I go to trivia every Thursday with a great bunch of women that are here locally. We did so badly last night.
Oh, it's still fun. But,
you know, on Thursday nights, I have a hot dog with chili and slaw and onions and fries.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds good.
Yeah. And then the next night, I'm like, man, I need some vegetables.
Right. Yeah. So it's all about balance.
But, you know, I don't want to eat pub food every single day because I don't feel my best. You know, when I'm done, I feel a little, you know, but it is what it is. So today I'm going to have something it's like a farro, and it's got spinach, and it's got, I mean, just mushrooms, beautiful vegetables. So over time I have realized, just like with the alcohol, I feel better when I nourish my body well. And I also have better satiety when I nourish my body well, because our bodies count nutrients, not calories. So if you've ever eaten like a meal that had no vegetables in it, and then you find yourself hungry, even though your stomach is like full of food and you're unsatisfied, it's because your body didn't get the nutrients that it needed.
Right.
But it happened naturally over time. You know, I have zero guilt when I have that, you know, pub food at trivia. No
it's
guilt
the best
at all.
Feeling, isn't it? To have
it
no
really, really is.
Feelings.
But I would not want to go there again tonight. Like, I have a friend, she comes to the trivia on Thursday sometimes, but she and her husband and some other couples, they go to trivia on Wednesdays as well. There's no way I would want to go out to eat at a pub two nights in a row.
Yeah, I know.
It would just be, I wouldn't want to. So I can't go to Wednesday night trivia because I just don't want to eat that way. I guess I could go and not eat, but it's right when I would want to be eating. The way that I eat is different because in the past I would have been all over. I would have gone to a pub every single day, lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to.
It does. It changed. It's hard to explain that to people who are just starting out. Like, trust me, what you want is going to change. Wait, you're telling me you really want to eat avocado toast?
Oh my God, I love avocado.
Or eggs or whatever it is all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that's really what I crave. That's I crave really like a hamburger. Like, I crave the weirdest things, but just me, like making it in my kitchen, not going out to a restaurant, because the quality is totally different.
It's true. I used to be just super happy with meat and potatoes and all of that. Like, I went to a really, like last weekend, my son Will and I went to eat at a great restaurant I love here in the Myrtle Beach area, the Sea Captain's House. Their food is delicious. But I realized I didn't have any vegetables. I had she crab soup, which was amazing. I had crab cakes. I had a baked potato. I guess baked potatoes, you know, technically from the vegetable kingdom. But I was like feeling really full from that. But that would have been like my ideal meal.
Sure.
Years ago. And instead I was like, that was a little heavy. Now I feel full.
Yeah. It's just like, it's so interesting how it's like an evolution of change in your diet of what you're eating, especially, you know, when you're an intermittent faster, that appetite correction kicks in and what you want changes over the years. And it's so, so, so cool. And what you don't want changes. Like, you don't want alcohol anymore. And
I don't want it. I really don't. Like, I do want the taste of champagne with no buzz, but I've not been able to find that.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I have heard Katy Perry puts out a great like mocktail because she went alcohol free too. A lot of celebs are doing it now, and it's becoming the cool thing to be alcohol free. So I love that trend. I do.
Yeah,
and I thank you for that inspiration.
Well, you're welcome.
So I'm going to like wrap this up with the way I wrap up every single episode. And that is, if there is somebody out there listening who might be overweight or unhealthy or both, and they're contemplating intermittent fasting, they've heard about it, but they're not sure. What would you, Jen Stevens, tell that person to give them that push to go forward and start?
This is the thing you've been looking for. You know, this is the thing you've been looking for. And, you know, we have trailed this, we have, you know, forged this path ahead of you. And we are telling you, this will change your life if you allow it to. If you get the old diet brain out of your head, if you're ready to learn new things and unlearn some things that you thought you knew. And I'm going to tell you, 28-day fast start day by day. It's not just because I want to sell you a book. It's because I want to see you succeed at intermittent fasting. And I want you to have the foundation that you need to turn it into a lifestyle.
That is, I love that. Thank you so much, Jen. Thanks for being here and taking time out of your busy day. I know you're such a busy woman. Enjoy your weekend. And thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Thanks everyone for listening today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Follow me on Instagram at Clean Fasting Mama. If you would like to hear more on my story or sign up for my newsletter, please visit fastandfabulouspodcast.com. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Fast on, friends.